All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, open the book of Hosea, chapter 12. Hosea, chapter 12. And that's great. Man, a violin and it's not a guitar. What is that? A mandolin. That's really cool. Eight strings? You play all eight of those? Well, there's six strings on a guitar, and I can play like one, maybe, you know. I'm telling you, I'm feeling really low tonight, you know. Five-year-olds that can speak four languages, a young man that can play a mandolin with all eight strings and everything, and you got me, all right? I'm sorry about that, but you're stuck, all right? No, you're stuck with me, so that's great. Amen. Praise the Lord. Young people using their talents and ability for the Lord. That is wonderful. Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter number 12. We'll begin reading verse number 1. We're going to read through the whole chapter, just 14 verses here. He says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation, and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob because, according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. He is a merchant, the balances of deceit are in his hand. He loveth to oppress. And Ephraim said, yet I am become rich. I have found me out substance. In all my labors they shall find none iniquity in me that were sin. And I that am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt will yet make thee to dwell in tabernacles as in the days of the solemn feast. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely they are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yea, their altars are as heaps in the furrows of the fields. Jacob fled into the country of Syria, and Israel served for a wife. And for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his blood upon him, and his reproach shall his Lord return unto him. Now we saw back in chapter 11 that God changes the analogy that is using with Israel from Hosea and Gomer, the husband and wife, now to a father and a son relationship. And really, chapter 11 is all about the prodigal son and about the prodigal son leaving and turning away. Of course, the prodigal son being Israel. But when we come to chapter 12, chapter 12 kind of gives us a little bit of the prodigal basically in the hog pen, right? We know the story of the prodigal son. He leaves his father, he leaves the his brother and his family, and he goes to a far country, and he wastes all that he has until finally he comes to the point where he's trying to find a job, and the only job that he can find is slopping pigs, you know, feeding the pigs, and he's trying to fight the pigs for the food, and he's in the hog pen. So what's it like to be in the hog pen? I mean, we can just imagine what the prodigal son must have gone through, what he must have been enduring when he finally woke up and realized, hey, you know, what am I doing here, right? What am I doing in the hog pen? What am I doing with these pigs? I mean, my father's servants are treated much better than this. So what's it like in the hog pen? Well, that's what chapter 12 kind of gives us a glimpse into where Israel is at. Because Israel is that prodigal son, and Israel is in the hog pen. Israel has not turned, even though God has tried to give them warning to turn. God has tried to say, hey, repent, turn back, come back. But Israel has refused. And Israel is in the hog pen. So watch what he says here. He says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after the east wind. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. And they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. So think what he's saying here. There's two things that he points out here in verse number one that kind of show us what has happened to Israel. They are feeding on the east wind, and they are trusting in other nations, right? So they're feeding in the world, and they're trusting in the world, right? This is what he says. Ephraim feedeth on wind. Well, that's an interesting statement. He feedeth on wind. You ever tried to bite the air? Right? I don't know if the air has any taste, right? I don't think it has much of a taste to it. I don't think it's gonna nourish you very much. It's not going to give you much strength at all, right? But he says Israel feedeth, or Ephraim feedeth on wind. Obviously, this is speaking of, it's not speaking of physical food, but it's referring to the spiritual aspect of it, the spiritualness of it. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live on bread alone. Not just the physical food. What? But what does he say? But on every word of God, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He says it's not just about the physical food, it's about the spiritual food. And what had happened was, instead of feeding on the living bread, they chose to feed on the wind. And of course, the wind that he's referring to here are the idols that they had made with their hands of gold and silver. They were going from their spiritual food, and they were going to these idols for their spiritual food. And what were they getting from these idols? The same spiritual sustenance that you would get from the wind. Nothing. They were going to these idols that they had made, these images, and they were going to them for their spiritual well-being. And what was it profiting them? How was it strengthening them? It wasn't. Just like you won't receive any strength if you go out and try to eat the wind. It's not going to work, right? And this is what he's saying. They were feeding on the world. They were feeding in the world. They're trying to get their spiritual food from the world, and it's not going to happen. They're not going to get this spiritual food. The world, pardon the analogy here, the world is like Cheeto Puffs. You ever had a Cheeto Puff? Have you ever seen those big things of Cheeto balls and the Cheeto Puffs, you know? I mean, man, it's a big thing. You know, it's full. And they're not cheap either, right? I mean, it looks cheesy and everything, and you're like, oh, this is going to be great. And man, you put one of those Cheeto Puffs in your mouth, you put one of those cheese balls in your mouth, and what happens? It just dissolves. It goes away. It was air. That's all it was. It was air, right? I mean, when you buy those Cheeto Puffs and you buy those Cheeto balls, it's air. You're buying air, flavored air, right? That's it. Cheese air. That's it. That's what you're buying, right? That's what it's like, right? That's what he's saying. It's like you're feeding on the wind. There's just nothing there. You're never going to look at Cheeto Puffs the same now, are you? Right? You're going to look at the cheese balls and you're like, it's air. It's just cheese air. That's all it is. They just dissolve into nothingness, right? Watch what he says. Ephraim feedeth on the wind and followeth after the east wind. They're just infatuated with the worldliness. They're infatuated with these idols and this wind that is bringing nothing for them. There's nothing there. There's no sustenance there spiritually because they were not feeding on the word of God, but on that which was empty. There was nothing to it. It was just empty. And watch what it produces, right? So you would think, right? Jesus says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Why? Because when we feed on the living word, and all throughout the Bible, there's different analogies of the living word. What are some of the food analogies that we find of the living word? You're not going to find cheese puffs in there, okay? I'm just telling you that, right? Maybe in one of these newer translations or something, I don't know. What are some of the analogies that we find about the word of God being some type of food? Somebody tell me, right? Somebody tell me, come on. Milk, right? It's milk. What else? What? Bread, right?
Meat.
Praise the Lord for meat. Amen. This stupid fly, I'm telling you. Somebody get me a fly swatter or something. This is it. She doesn't see the fly. Oh, he's here, believe me. He's here. What is some else? You got milk, you got bread, you got food, or you got meat. What else?
Honey.
Right? Honey. I mean, think about it. Man, all of those things, right? All of those things provide strength. All of those things provide spiritual food. There's sustenance there, right? And he says that's what the Word of God is like. The Word of God is that milk, it's that bread, it's that honey, it's that meat, right? But what does he say about the spiritual things of the world? It's cheese puffs. It's wind. It's nothing. There's nothing there, right? It's not going to sustain you. It's not going to help you, right? And so watch what he says. What does it produce? He says, Ephraim feedeth on wind and followeth after east wind. He daily increaseth spiritually. He's daily increasing close to God. No, no, no. Watch what it says. He daily increaseth lies and desolation. Lies and desolation are increasing daily. Why? Because there's nothing spiritual that these false idols can produce. They're not going to satisfy spiritually. In fact, what happens is just the opposite. Instead of it strengthening someone spiritually, it actually causes them to be more and more depraved. Lying continually, daily increasing, these desolations increasing daily. Every day they were moving farther and farther away from God. And we may think that a day or two away from God won't affect us. Well, that's not going to affect me. A day or two won't affect us. But what we don't realize is that day after day we get farther from Him, and then we begin to think that we don't need Him. And then it's not just a day or two anymore. Now it's a week. And then it's a month. And then it's 3 months. And then it's 6 months. And then it's a year. And then it's 5 years. Now, 5 years down the road, you're going to look back and you're going to say, wait a minute, I never thought this would happen. I never intended this. How did this start? How did I get so far away from God? Do you not see this fly? Somebody please tell me they see the fly. Okay, everybody in the front row sees the fly. I'm sorry about you in the back, but this fly, I'm telling you. I'm serious. This has never happened before, okay? This. Unbelievable. I'm sure those of you who are watching live stream are just cracking up, right? You probably see the fly, right? Because you're like zoomed in. They've probably zoomed in on the fly back there, right? Please do not do that, okay? I can just see the guy. Oh, wow, what a great idea. Let's zoom in on the fly. But this is what he's saying. The lies and the desolation are increasing. And the farther and farther we get away, I would guarantee you, Israel never thought that they would be where they were at when Hosea is preaching this message. They never thought they would be in this place. They never thought that there would be this debauchery that they are living in. They never thought that when that, man, oh, it's not that big of a deal if I miss the time with the Lord a day or two. It's not that big of a deal. And what happens? It's not just a day or two anymore. It's a week. And we're like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. I can go back to it anytime I want. Well, then why don't you go back to it? And then it's a month. And then we're not even thinking about it anymore. And then it's 6 months. And we begin to see there's no concern at all for the things of God. A year, no desire at all for the things of God. This is what he's saying. When we think that somehow the world is going to be able to feed us spiritually, when we think that we can get our spiritual nutrition and our spiritual meat from the things of the world, it's just like trying to eat wind. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. We are deceiving ourselves. When they started moving away from God, they never would have expected to be in the place where they were at this time. When you feed on the world, you will soon find out that what they offer does not satisfy. It doesn't satisfy. So what happens? You try something else. You try something more. And guess what you find out? That doesn't satisfy. So what happens? You try something else, you try something more, and you find out that doesn't satisfy, and you keep going, and before you know it, you become just like what Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 1. Hold your place here in Hosea and turn with me to Romans chapter 1, because this is exactly what Paul says in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, and we're going to read a little bit here, but I want you to notice in verse number 22. Well, let's just start in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, where our country is filled with fools today who think they're wise, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to a corruptible man. What are they doing? They're making images. They're creating these images. They're thinking that through this idol worship that somehow that's going to provide the spiritual satisfaction that they're looking for. Birds, four-footed beasts, creeping things. So what happens? Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What's going to keep growing and growing and growing? Lies and desolations, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. This is what was happening in Israel at this time. The vile affections that were taking place. I mean, just horrible things. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Think about this. The prophets come and they preach, and the prophets come and they preach, and the prophets come and they preach, and they listen and they listen. They say, you know what? We don't care about God. We don't want to hear anything from God. That's exactly what they said. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So what happens? Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. This is what Paul is saying, but this is what was happening hundreds of years earlier to Israel. This is exactly what Paul is saying. This is exactly what's happening in our day today. And watch, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Did Israel know that all that they were doing was wicked? Did they know that the immorality was wrong? Did they know that worshiping idols were wrong? Did they know all these things were wrong? Yes. But did they care? Watch what he says. That they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They knew it was wrong, but they said, we don't care. And not only are we going to do it, we're going to have pleasure in doing it. We're going to make it so that this that is wrong, we're going to say that it's right. And that is right, we're going to say that it is wrong. We're going to change everything. That's exactly what Israel did. Israel says, hey, we don't care about what God says. We just want to do what pleases us. We just want to do what pleases us. And this is what he's saying. Because of their desire to just follow the world, he says that their lies and the desolations increase daily because they were not concerned about doing what God wanted. Even though they knew it was wrong, they did it anyway, and they took pleasure in doing it. Friend, that's where we're at today. You say, well, it's not wrong. No, we know it's wrong. The world knows it's wrong. But we just said we don't care. We don't care that it's wrong. And we're going to let the world change what is right to wrong and what is wrong to right. You see, when you try to get spiritual satisfaction from the world, it's just like trying to eat the air. Nothing is going to happen. You're never going to be satisfied. They were feeding on the world. But notice also what he says back in verse number 1. and they do make a covenant with the Assyrians, and oil is carried into Egypt. So not only were they feeding on the world, but they were trusting in the world, right? And this is just really remarkable here, right? They're trusting in the world. They were looking to the world for protection. They were looking to the world for provision. They made treaties with Assyria. They sent oil to Egypt to buy favor from them. Instead of trusting in the one who had delivered them, who had provided for them, who had protected them, they chose to trust in the world. You know, it's sad when Christians stop trusting in the Lord and they start looking back to the world. This is amazing. Think about what he's saying here. They do make a covenant with the Assyrians. Who were the Assyrians? Who are they making a covenant with? They're making a covenant of peace, right? They're making a covenant to say, hey, we are one. Remember, even in the book of Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? Israel is saying, hey, Assyria, we are one. Let's make a covenant together. But the Assyrians were their enemies. They were their enemies. Who was it that God sent Jonah to? Nineveh. And what was Nineveh? The capital city of the Assyrians. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrians. Why didn't Jonah want to go? Because they were their enemies. Because they had mistreated Israel. They had killed Israel. They had fought against Israel. They had murdered them. They had done atrocious things to Israel. And now Israel's saying, hey, we're like this. We're buds. God's saying, have you lost your mind? Really, these are your enemies, and you're wanting to make a covenant with them? You're wanting to be one with them? That's the same thing as a Christian saying, God, I don't need you. I'm going to go back and I'm going to trust in the world for my provision. I'm going to trust in the world for my protection. God's saying, wait a minute. The world is not your friend. The world is your enemy. What are you doing? They don't like you. They hate you. Why would you go to them and try to make a covenant with them? But this is what Israel did. They were their enemies. They had done horrible things to the Israelites. Jonah was upset that God was sparing them when they repented. And now here Israel is turning to them and trusting in them. You say, well, they repented. Yeah, they repented, but then they stopped. They repented for a short time, and then they went back to doing the same things again. And they went back to persecuting Israel. And now they're trying to make a covenant with them. Watch what else. And oil is carried into Egypt. What had Egypt done to them? Have we forgotten? God is saying, have you forgotten what Egypt did to you? Have you forgotten that for 400 years you were in bondage in Egypt? For 400 years the Egyptians made you slaves. For 400 years you were making bricks. Have you forgotten? And so you're going to your enemies, you're going to the people that enslaved you, you're going to those that have murdered you and killed you and persecuted, and you're saying, hey, let's make a covenant together. Let's all be friends. You've lost your mind. Why? Because they were trying to feed on the world, which brought nothing spiritually, and so because they weren't getting anything spiritually, now they say, well, let's try it the physical way. Let's see if we can get the world to protect us. Let's see if we can get the world to provide for us. God says, you're trying to buy their favor. Egypt had fought against them many times. And instead of turning to God, they were turning to their enemies. What's it like in the hog pen? Feeding on the world? Where was their bread and meat and shelter and warm clothes back in the Father's house? What was the prodigal doing in the hog pen? He was fighting the pigs for their food. He didn't have warm clothes. He didn't have a nice place to live. He had lost it all because he was trying to feed on the world. What happened? Instead of trusting the Father, instead of trusting that the Father knew what was best and the Father would provide and the Father would take care of him, he said, God, I don't need you, Dad. I don't need you, Father. I'll make it on my own. I'll go to the world and I'll trust the world and I'll see what the world has to offer. And he went and he tried to find protection and he tried to find provision in the world. And where did it lead him? To the hog pen. Where was the world when Israel was in the hog pen? Where was the world when the prodigal son was in the hog pen? They didn't care about him. And friend, we have got to understand, the world does not care about you and I as Christians. They do not care. Sure, they make it look all glamorous. Sure, they make it seem great. And hey, you're missing out on everything. But all it's going to do is lead you to the hog pen. And once you get to the hog pen, you're going to find out they don't care about you. When they can take from you and take from you and take from you, they will have you around. But as soon as you can't offer them anything, they are done. And guess where you're left? In a hog pen. They were feeding on the world. They were trusting in the world. Where did it lead them? Lies, daily increasing, this desolation. Think about what is happening here. How far they have gone. And what is happening and what they're doing. All in the name of trying to be religious. Again, even to the point of doing the absolute unthinkable. In taking your own children and offering them as a sacrifice to a false god. Oh, Pastor, yeah, you don't understand. I would never go that far. I would never go that far. I mean, after all, you know, it's not gonna be that bad, you know. Just a couple days not reading the Bible, a couple days, you know, a couple weeks not going to church, you know, a couple months not really being involved in serving. It's not gonna really be that bad, friend. You don't understand. You don't understand. The world has deceived you into thinking that you can be without spiritual food and still survive. They think, hey, come over here, check out our spiritual food. Look what we got. I mean, look how much fun we're having. You can have enough over here. Yeah, eat those Cheeto Puffs that aren't going to do anything for you. And the Father's saying, I have bread, I have meat, I have milk, I have honey, I got ribs, I got all kinds of stuff. Steaks, hamburgers, I got it all. And you'd rather try to eat the air? That's what happens when we turn and say, God, I don't need you. I know what's best for my life. I can figure it out on my own. The world's not that bad. The world just, they just want to accept us. No, the world doesn't want to accept us. The world wants to lead us right to the hog pen. And the world is going to leave you in the hog pen. Because they care nothing about you. Now, I really was going to try to get through this whole chapter tonight. But I don't want to leave you hanging. Because there's so much more we're going to look at, and we're going to have to go through this next week because there's just not enough time to go through this all tonight. But I want you to notice what he says, and we'll look again at this next week as well. But watch what he says in verse number 6. Therefore, turn thou to thy God. Turn to thy God. Not the false gods, not these false idols, not these false images. God is saying, turn to me. Turn to me. I am the Lord God. I am the Creator God. Turn to me. He says here, therefore, turn thou to God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. Turn to me, God says. This is what's absolutely amazing about our God. Here is Israel in the hog pen. They are at their lowest point. Now, they don't understand they're at their lowest point. They really don't. Israel thinks they're okay. They haven't gotten taken into captivity yet by the Assyrians, right? They think they're still okay. They think they still have some plan of what they want to accomplish or what they're doing. But he says, if you just turn to thy God, you don't have to stay in the hog pen. Now, let's be honest. How many times has Israel turned their back on God? Over and over and over and over. And yet, every time, we see God offering them an opportunity to repent. Turn. Turn to thy God. You don't have to keep going down that road. You don't have to stay in the hog pen. You don't have, if you're thinking that somehow the world is going to satisfy and that you're going to be spiritually satisfied through the world and what the world has to offer, you might as well wake up now. Wake up now and realize it's just like trying to eat the wind. If you think somehow the world is going to provide and the world is going to protect, and you think, well, hey, I've got it figured out in my job and my savings and my 401k and my retirement, and I've got all these things, I've got it all figured out. Friend, you're missing the point. You're still trusting in the world when you ought to be trusting in God. I mean, he goes through this a little bit later. He's going to go through and say, who was it that delivered you from the Egyptians? I did. Who was it that provided for you through the wilderness? I did. Who was it that defeated the enemies when you went into the promised land? I did. Who was it that provided for you while you were even in the promised land? I did. When the enemies came, who was it that fought against them? I did. God said, I did all of these things. Return to thy God. Turn thou to thy God. Keep mercy and judgment and wait on thy God continually. I want you to think about something just a minute and then we'll be done. Don't tune me out yet. What could God do with a handful of Christians that would say, God, just as much as I have served the world in that same way, I will serve you. Think about it. God, just as much as I have sought after the world and I've gone after the world's things and I've thought that they've satisfied, and I mean, think about the time that we spend for the world. Think about the investment that we spend for the world. Think about the energy that we spend for the world. Now, take all of that and say, God, with the same energy and effort and the time that I'm going to give to the world, I'm going to take that and I'm going to give it to you. Oh. What could God do? What could God do? Can I tell you something? If we would have Christians that would be willing to do that, we could reach the world for Jesus Christ. But we're so busy eating cheese puffs and chasing and trying to eat the air that we are missing out on the milk and the bread and the meat and the honey. We're missing out on God's plan and provision and protection for our lives, and we're over here thinking that somehow this hog pen with the slop that the hogs are eating is somehow going to satisfy us. It's not. But he says, turn to thy God. Turn to thy God. And what does he say at the end? Watch what he says at the last verse here. And wait on thy God continually. You know what he says? Just keep following him. Just keep serving him. Just keep trusting him. Just keep honoring him. Just keep feeding from him. And guess what you'll find? You'll find you'll be satisfied. You'll be satisfied when nothing else can. Turn to thy God. What's it like in the hog pen? It's not a good place. It's not a good place. But you don't have to stay there. Turn to thy God and wait on him continually. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. Lord, truly, if Israel would have served you with as much desire and vigor that they serve these false idols, Lord, they never would have been in the hog pen in the first place. And Lord, so many Christians, Lord, they're turning their back on their God. Oh, just a day or two is not going to hurt me. A week or two is not going to be bad. A month or two is not going to be that difficult. And they find years later, they don't know how they got where they're at. And they're miserable in the hog pen. Lord, would you give us Christians that would have a desire to serve you? Lord, not to serve the world, not to get our satisfaction, not to feed from the world, not to trust in the world, but to feed on the living bread, the living word of God, to trust in you, and to wait on you, and to serve you continually all of our days. Lord, that truly is where satisfaction comes. And yes, the devil is going to get us to think that's not where it's going to be at. The devil's going to try to get us to think that satisfaction is going to come only from the world. But Lord, we have to understand that if we listen to the devil and if we listen to the world, we will end up in the hog pen. Father, help us. Would you open our eyes to these truths? Don't let the devil deceive us. Don't let the world convince us that somehow we're missing out. Lord, would we look to you and wait on you continually, serving you every day of our lives? Lord, would you help us in this? With the heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about,